I grew up in a single parent family in the middle of nowhere where I was the oldest child, and I'm just a bit younger than the demographic. And we didn't have Top of the Pops because we only had Irish channels. So I didn't know who Take That were until one day I came into school and the bigger girls at school were crying and I couldn't understand what was going on, but I kind of again faked it. I was like, oh no, Take That have broken up, oh no. But I didn't know what it meant, but I sort of came into the sort of pop world more where Boyzone took off. So I'm not trying to start beef or anything, but it would be remiss of me to say I wasn't a Boyzone fan originally. But I have to say, the one thing that I think everyone agrees with on this job is we should be sick of Take That songs by now. We've had them play to us some of those songs 150 times in a row, and they're just not getting old. And I just can't understand it. Like, I can't look at my face twice in a mirror and I'm like, oh, you again. But we can listen to Shine, and we did, I think, the conga down Clitheroe High Street 30 times, a Congo leading 200 like essays and actors down a street in heels. And still at the end, you were like, Ned! I just, they really are amazing songs and quite lyrically surprising. The one big thing was none of us knew that it's never forget where you've come here from. Everyone thinks it's never forget where you're coming from. And you'd be like, Ireland. But actually, is never forget where you've come here from, like to this trailer. Over there would be the answer. So it's a lot more thinking to do than, Gabby gave us a lot more thinking to do than we realised. I suppose coming out of the womb, I sort of popped and locked my way out. And once my mother stopped screaming in pain, I was like, but you have to admit, not bad rhythm. I see myself predominantly as a dancer in this. I don't think the cameramen or the other dancers, the rest of the cast or the audience will think of it like that, but I do like to think of myself as a dancer, not a human. So yes, I do actually love dancing. And the days we are doing the dancing scenes sort of feels a little bit like if you'd have gone back in time and told 5-year-old me that wanted to be an actor what I thought acting would look like. Wigs and giant costumes and having people dance around me is probably what I thought acting would be. And God bless my mother, she used to drive me like an hour to drama school classes well outside of our town, like every Saturday morning, and come back and I would just be like ablaze and doing moves like out in the backfield, like hip hop moves, thinking like a Hollywood producer was going to drive by the back road of where we were in the countryside and be like, hey kid, you got something, you want to come all the way to Hollywood tonight? I'd be like, yeah, okay, what took you so long? I think the Greatest Days is a lovely title because we look back with a sort of like heady, blinkered kind of rose-tinted view of our childhood, or we look back with a sort of like, they were the enemy, I was right, that's what happened to me. And as you get older and you start going to therapy or meet loads of different people who make you question stuff, you're like, oh my God, like I didn't, my lens was so only from one point of view, and you turn it around and you see people from different lenses and you realise that maybe your greatest days are still ahead of you. And I think harping back to behind can be a sort of crutch at times, and like letting your childhood go and moving forward is actually something that a lot of us have to learn to do, because it's a difficult thing to do. And I think it happens to people at certain ages because of certain conversations that happen in life when you're looking for different things. And I suppose that's what happens in this film a little bit, is like forgiving backwards and realizing that you were just a kid. And I think that's what happens in this movie, just this massive realization that a narrative you had, which you just held onto so tightly, imagine breaking that and seeing a different point of view on it, and suddenly that can kind of release you. And I think that's what Rachel's journey definitely is on this, you know? It's not about Take That, the film, ironically, because people keep on saying, oh, it's a new Take That movie. And that's an easy hook to sell it, because it's definitely for fans of the music. But this isn't a movie about Take That. I, spoiler alert, don't play Gary Barlow in the story of Take That and their origin story. This is about a group of friends. When you grow up and you're in school somewhere, you're forced to be friends with the people you have there. You don't know whether they're your tribe or not. You're not sure if they're the people you have stuff in common with or not. They're your options. So you might feel weird or you might feel accepted, but until you get older, you don't know if that was sort of like normal or not. And And then you go and find yourself. And then I've definitely had this later on in life where I've gone, oh God, even now I would still pick those people. And, or sometimes you go, God, I would never have put myself in that situation again, or we wouldn't be friends now, which is a sad feeling. But that's quite a universal story, and that's what this story is, essentially. It's the friendship of it. And I also wanted to do it because part of it is a little bit of a love story between normal people. And it's not sort of like, once she jumped off the bus, she fell into his arms and he was like working as a soldier. It's like, it's just two people trying to make a relationship work as well alongside it. So it's kind of giving a singing, dancing musical to like most people. And I think that's a really lovely, lovely aim. So this t-shirt is basically supposed to be the t-shirt that I had of the band when I was a kid. And I wanted to kind of put in something into the script where you would see the connection, how maybe Rachel's character was a bit more of a fan than the other girls, to sort of show that the stakes are higher for her character. So I put in the sort of idea that if like Lara, who's playing baby me, had the same teacher, and then when I turn up with this thing years later, I have a sort of more crumpled, worn down version of it, just to kind of have a bit of a connection. But in some way, I think sometimes with, you can do a lot of storytelling through not just a script and the work, but like through props and costume, and show the audience things without sort of telling them through dialogue. And so that's what the idea of this is kind of supposed to be. So hope it'll work. Hope they'll get it. Or they're like, oh, that other young girl has the same t-shirt. Think a bit more, folks. Well, I can't tell you why Rachel and her friends haven't seen each other for so long, because that is what we call in the industry a hashtag spoiler. But Rachel's character was a girl who moved over from Ireland during the sort of 90s. There's an energy there which isn't to the forefront of the script, but which I tried to work in, of the of an element of like the pressure of parents and people moving over during the 90s from another country. And she's a kid whose parents are kind of, and family is a little bit falling apart. And through this boy band, which I know a lot of, you know, young people who love an act or especially a musical act, there's a dreamlike kind of hero worship, and it's an element of fantasy or being able to escape, especially at an age or a financial circumstance that you can't really escape. And so that's the massive part of young Rachel and how she sort of deals with what's going on at home. And we fast forward to modern Rachel, who is a nurse and a paediatrics nurse working in a ward with young kids. And she has not been fantasizing about a boy band in quite some time. Suddenly she wins this competition, which she sort of enters without really thinking. And then it's just like a whoosh of sort of maybe demons and things she hasn't dealt with brought forward. And it's almost like that time getting into your 30s gives yourself time to process school and who were you, and looking at your peers, your parents, your everyone with a lot more empathy, where you look back at your parents and you think, God, I'm their age now. I'm a dickhead. I'm an idiot. Beep. And looking back with a lot more empathy and trying to wrestle with who you were, who your friends were. And so when the girls all meet each other on this sort of trip, at some point it's going to all come out, and that'll need to be, if there's to be a real friendship again, you know, it'll need to be based on some truths coming out. Jade was actually one of the first people to be cast in the film, like 2 years ago, pre-pandemic. And I remember, and Jade Adams is a long-term friend of mine. We're both stand-ups as well. And I've known Jade for probably about a decade. But we've got so incredibly close on this film, which has been really gorgeous to know each other outside of kind of friends, but stand-up colleagues, really. And I remember Jade texting me going, oh, mate, I'm doing a Take That movie. I'm doing a Take That movie. Can you believe it? I'm doing a Take That movie? And I'm like, oh, my God. I wish I bloody wrote a Take That movie about fans. I was like, I wish I wrote that. And then they approached me about playing Rachel, and then I came on as script editor, and I was like, oh my God, the thing I texted Jade about is now actually happening. Alice Lowe I have known for probably again 10 years, kind of through me looking up to Alice quite a lot. Alice is an incredible director and writer, and like I've been sort of a huge fan of her work and felt a little bit kind of like a, I'm new to comedy at the very start. And she is one of the cool girls in comedy. And I'm a big fan of what she's done with her like independent movie career as well. And she's just so chilled and laid back and brilliant. And then Amaka Okafor, oh my God, just so emotionally intelligent. And she's the one who I'm like, oh God, I really wanted like a deep chat about something. She'd be like, oh, I'll have a deep chat. And the two of us would be like, yeah, oh my God. And I think that goes back to my childhood. And the two of us will just sit down having an over analysis about things. And it's just pure, absolute bloody joy to be working with them. I feel like I won the lottery with the three of them, truly. When I was a teenager, I was an absolute wreckhead. And so even when they were looking at casting Lara, or they wanted some pictures of me as a teenager, and I was like, oh, I don't look like, I had bleach blonde hair. Myself and Jade were talking about the fact that we were like dosed in fake tan. Like we used to stand beside oak or mahogany doors and be like, and you wouldn't see us. But it's funny having the younger cast now, because they're all dressing really 90s-ish and the fashion now is for 90s. And so what they're wearing now, like when we go out or go for a couple of drinks as a team, they're wearing stuff that I would have worn 20 years ago. And I remember like my aunts saying that to us. We're like, oh my God, bell bottoms. Sure, we used to wear bell bottoms. And it's the same thing. You're like, oh no, I'm the older one now. I first saw Lara in Belfast. And I remember watching her in Belfast. And I mean, the whole cast is great. And Jamie and Katrina are good pals of mine. So I was watching them just be their closest to themselves I'd seen them be in anything. And then there was this girl who was doing this like little shoplifting scene and was kind of like kind of bullying her little cousin. And I was like, I want to write something for her because she's brilliant and her timing is excellent. And then when we came to looking for a cast member for this, they were like, do you know Lara McDonald? And I was like, oh, who's she again? And Katrina Balfe had mentioned, because I was kind of saying, we're looking for someone to play a younger version of myself in a film. And she was like, there's this girl who's in Belfast with me, and she's not even from Belfast. Her accent's perfect. And I was like, oh. And then Lara had sent a tape in and done an audition. And I was like, that's her. And she is just, I mean, first of all, she's more experienced. She is got the soul of an 8-year-old, very experienced actor inside. So she doesn't need any tips or anything. It was very much like two peers coming together, because I'm a big child and she's sort of quite an adult figure. And she's so professional. She cares about the crew and the team so much. She's just an exceptional actor. And she's just one of those people I'm like, oh, you're going to be working until you're 90. And she loves the craft of it. So she's just brilliant. And I really, like, an example of how much more adult she is that I've got very blue eyes and she's got brown eyes. And Karen, the makeup artist, makeup designer, was like, we need blue eyes, blue eyes. And I was like, if she has to wear eye lenses, I wouldn't do that. I'd be like, nah, it's too boring. And Lara's like, yeah, I'll put them in straight away. So she wears things on her eyeballs in every single scene that make her eyes look blue, which, again, I probably wouldn't be that dedicated. I'd be like, eh, I'll explain it through in a note through. Like, oh, remember the time I had that eye disease? It changed my eye colour, you know? Yeah, it's interesting in terms of the music, because I was always looking at it from a script point of view and a dialogue point of view, and it was hard to imagine what they were doing musically until I heard it. And then I sort of got more of a sense of it, because it sort of is, like, we're not singing a lot of the songs. And I think part of our chats creatively were to make sure that we did sing in bits and pieces. So it wasn't just people singing at us or men singing at these women, that we actually had a voice within the songs as well. I think the music team have done an amazing job at making them very familiar. It's like, you know, when MasterChef or Great British Menu, where they're like, I'm going to do fish and chips, wink. And you're like, oh, I feel like they might be about to jazz up fish and chips, but we better still recognize it. So I think this gives audience enough, you know, clapping and singing along and moving around, but it's changed enough that it is the movie's soundtrack. In this, every musical you see is in Rachel's head. So it's a fantasy sequence. It's not the only character who sees it genuinely is Rachel. Everyone else just suddenly becomes almost like, you know, the dolls are awake within the music sequence. So it's Rachel's point of view of what she thinks they would be like in those songs. Yeah, the boys popping up is an interesting one. It's almost like this is a cutesy family-friendly Drop Dead Fred. The five actors who are playing our boy band, Josh and Aaron and Mervyn and Dalvin and Mark, are my emotional support in this movie, like getting through the long days. Like, some of our days are incredibly long. And when I see their five faces, they are the most humble, gorgeous group of performers I've ever met in my life. And they really do work as a unit. There's no sort of boy band member kind of like stepping away. They're a gorgeous unit. And when I see them on set, their energy, they make everyone happy in the crew. They're a just pure joy to work with, and they're just the loveliest, most hardworking bunch, because they also came on board 2 years ago. So they've been waiting for this job to happen right throughout the pandemic, which, you know, for a lot of people who work in dancing was a very difficult time, with like West End completely wiped out, and the same with the other dancing team as well. So they've been waiting a long time to get to finally do their job. But I do hope with this film, I think there's times in some of the stuff that I make normally can have like, I like to use comedy to kind of get in subject matters that you wouldn't normally deal with. And then there's other times when you want to have just a bit of glorious escapism. And when we are doing the dance sequences and we're just dancing and not worrying about like the heavier acting bits, there's an element of escapism, of throwing your hands into the air and bopping around in a group, that we've so missed after all these years of not being allowed together and get sweaty and jumping up and down and being in at a gig and remembering that feeling of like physical togetherness. And I really hope that when people watch this film, they'll sort of get up on their feet and almost like turn away from it and dance with each other when they hear the pop songs and stuff. Because that would happen often with the crew. You'd see outside of the crew, kind of the location manager be doing this, like to relight my fire. And I hope that this film gives people a bit of sort of joyous hands in the air. And I do think it's a family movie, so I hope it gives it that sort of feeling when they watch it.